Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
We are a nation of Christians and Muslims, Jews and Hindus, and non-believers. In the words of Scripture, the time has come to set aside childish things.
I humbly ask this in the name of the one who changed my life, Yeshua, Isa, Jesus, Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father.
O God of our many understandings, we pray that you will bless us with tears, with anger. Bless us with discomfort.
Let us take that power back to our homes, our churches, our temples, our mosques, wherever we seek your will.
Well, I understand in an economy like we have, and with the bleak future that appears to be before us, at least for the next year or so, why people might want to, well, both literally and figuratively, take stock. Put something away for not only a rainy day, but perhaps worse than a rainy day, and, well, stock up against bad times. I can understand it. Now, I'm reading about the Mormon Index on the front page of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch yesterday. It's an effort to stockpile food on the part of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints members. Why are Mormons stockpiling food other than a bad economy? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our short conversation with Bill McKeever about that story, we'll spend the rest of today's show talking about the Lord's Supper with Pastor Paul McCain. It's Friday afternoon, the 23rd of January. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Bill McKeever is a regular guest, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, co-author of the book Mormonism 101. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be with you, Todd. How are you?
Very well. Other than a generally concerning situation when it comes to the economy, other than a gloomy forecast for the economy, why are Mormons stockpiling food?
Well, a lot of it has to do with a commandment that was given by their leadership during the Great Depression. I think it was in 1936, under the leadership of Heber J. Grant. They started the church welfare program, and then about a year later, in a general conference message, one of the first presidency instructed the people that they were supposed to keep a supply of food. But it's interesting, when you read some of the comments regarding this sermon, it sounds like it had much more to do than just with hard times, which of course was facing our nation and the Mormon people during the 1930s. But it also seemed to have more of an apocalyptic tone to it. In fact, in 1974, Ezra Taft Benson, who later became the 13th president of the Mormon Church, gave a speech called Prepare Ye. And he kind of goes back and gives a little bit of a history of this, and he talks about the, you know, 1937 General Conference message and Reuben J. Clark's instructing people to store food and things like that. But he talks also, he makes reference to Doctrine and Covenants, which is one of Mormonism's sacred books, Section 1, which talks about verse 12, where it says, prepare ye for that which is to come. And if you read in Section 1 of the Doctrine and Covenants, you can clearly see that this has an apocalyptic message to it, because it's talking about the calamity which should come upon the inhabitants of the earth. And when you ask, well, what some of those calamities are that they are supposed to prepare for, you find also in the Doctrine and Covenants, it talks about a great hailstorm sent forth to destroy the crops of the earth and things like that. So it's not just for hard times. It's actually in an understanding that the second coming is supposed to be around the corner. And this is what's interesting, Todd. You don't hear this a whole lot coming from modern-day messages in general conferences, but if somebody would study the early teachings of Joseph Smith around the beginnings of the Mormon church, they were a church that was very much into the belief that Jesus' return was right around the corner. Now, you don't hear that a whole lot from modern leaders, but that certainly was a great part of the message that Joseph Smith had in the early years. So they were really expecting Jesus to return quite soon back then.
Doesn't this account for a lot of the comings and goings, the movements and the migrations of the earliest Mormons in the United States, their kind of immediate apocalyptic expectation?
I guess you could say that. I find, though, in talking with Mormons nowadays, you don't hear that a lot, though. That's what's really odd. It seems like the Mormon church has kind of set aside a lot of that talk, and so talk of the Second Coming is not nearly as part of urgent speech as it certainly was in the early years. Again, like you mentioned earlier in the broadcast, now if you talk to most Mormons, if you were to go to your Mormon neighbor and ask them, well, why do you store food? They would probably say, well, it's just in case of an emergency, in case there's a flood, or in case, you know, we go through a hard struggle with our jobs and things like that. Not too many are going to say because of the calamities which are ahead that are going to come upon the inhabitants of the earth, you know, in an overflowing scourge and desolating sickness that's going to, you know, cover the land. You're not going to hear too many Mormons say that.
What changed? I mean, can you point to a time when Mormonism, in terms of its rhetoric, in terms of its teachings, went from being we need to build a city to welcome Christ, to reestablish a new Zion upon the earth, to, you know, stockpile your food, it's a smart thing to do in hard times, or any times for that matter?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Now, I'm not saying that that idea has been totally set aside. I mean, when you have a guy back in 1974, which is not that terribly long ago, still talking about this, and if you were to go on Mormon websites and, you know, Google food storage, you'll find this apocalyptic message in there as well. It's not that it's been completely ignored. It's just not something that seems to be in the forefront of a Mormon's reason for storing food. But yet they are still very much involved in that. They are supposed to store about a year's worth of food. I know I've gone to several houses in Utah when friends of mine were coming up and were looking to live in Utah, and we would go around looking at houses with them. If you go down in the basement, there usually was always a huge cache of food in some room downstairs that was probably, you know, still nice and damp or cool, and huge cans of beans and things like that. So they're still doing it. It's still very much a part of their understanding. There's no doubt about that.
Okay. It seems, I mean, Bill, things could get really a lot worse than they even are now. And I think to myself, that ain't a bad idea. I mean, if you have the wherewithal to do it, that's not a bad idea, even if you just anticipate losing your job.
You know, I agree. I agree totally. I don't think it's a bad idea at all. I think everybody should probably do something to a certain extent. But you know what gets me about this is there's been so much talk about this, and the Mormons, I make such a public issue about this that, in my opinion, I think what's actually going to possibly happen if things really did get bad is that the Mormon church, because of all the talk about their food storage program, has actually put all of its members actually in danger. Because let's be serious, if a person is really hurting, where do they know they can get food? Probably from their Mormon neighbor who's got it stored out in the garage or maybe down in their basement somewhere. And unfortunately, there's a lot of unscrupulous people that aren't going to use a polite means of trying to attain some of this material, and it could actually put the Mormon family in danger, which would be a horrible thing, no doubt.
Are there branches of Mormonism outside kind of the mainstream of the LDS Church or its counterpart in the Kansas City area? Are there branches of the Mormon church that still retain a bit more of the flavor of the Joseph Smith Brigham Young days?
Do they do this?
Yeah, are there branches that are more kind of true to the roots?
You know, I'm not sure about that. Certainly the speech given by Benson in 1974 would have no impact on them whatsoever, because they don't recognize LDS leaders, modern LDS leaders, as having any authority for them. So I really couldn't answer that with any definitive answer on that.
It, I think it kind of highlights the fact that Mormonism is more than just kind of a quirky little religion or offshoot heresy of Christianity. It really is, in some ways, an entirely different worldview and scheme.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it is absolutely a culture in itself. There's no doubt about it. If you live in Utah, you recognize it immediately. And in a lot of areas, it's not a bad thing. I mean, a lot of the reasons why Utah is not a bad place to raise your kids or to live is because of the Mormon influence. There's no doubt about that. I would give credit where credit is due, but certainly the theology of Mormonism is not as we would understand Christianity to be.
Is this what, in some ways, makes Mormonism strangely attractive to people? It's all perverse.
I don't know if the food storage does, but certainly the fact that living in Utah is like living 20 years behind the times, and when you're trying to raise a family, that certainly is something that a lot of people are looking for. Because the family is a mess. It's not to say that Mormon families don't have their own set of struggles. Certainly the statistics in Utah do not show that just because Mormonism is the prevalent religion that there's utopia in the state. That's not the case at all. Mormons struggle in many areas just the same as everybody else, and sometimes I think the religion actually exacerbates some of the problems. But for the most part, Mormons try very hard to be the best people they can be, and that's commendable. I have no problem with that whatsoever. It's just that when you think being the best person you can possibly be has some bearing on where you are in your standing with an all-holy God, of course, that becomes very problematic.
Folks, you'll find a link to Bill McKeever and Mormonism Research Ministry under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Bill McKeever is a regular guest, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, co-author of the book Mormonism 101. Thanks, Bill.
Hey, it's good to be with you, Todd. Take care.
When we come back, the rest of today's show is dedicated to your phone calls and your email on the subject of the Lord's Supper. What do you believe about the Lord's Supper? Talk back at issuesetc.org or 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE. Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely upon you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Planned Parenthood's New Image.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
According to the Wall Street Journal, Planned Parenthood affiliates nationwide are aggressively expanding their reach, and increasing the number of abortion clinics is not the only item on the agenda. It seems that the abortion business is seeking a whole new clientele by redecorating drab clinics in chic new colors and opening large new facilities in upscale areas and so-called express care centers and shopping malls. While historically focusing on providing abortions for low-income women with limited access to health care, Planned Parenthood is trying to reach a new demographic. Why the change? Tune in next time.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.